real power? Yeah, that's right, word. I've got the ability to make you win. You want the edge? I'll push the power surge. Let her rip. TV's really big half hour video power. And now here's the guy I finally beat my favorite video game by pulling the plug. Say hello to Johnny Arcade.
This week in Your Parents' Basement, we're celebrating the best that television has to offer us by focusing on the best efforts of television to talk about video games. It's all in honor of last week's Emmys. I'm Steve Greenwell, and with me is the man who's been nominated for Best Supporting Podcast Host. It's Huell Hauser.
The tiara, the key, the tiara, the throne, the tiara.
Oh. And our other co-host, he finished third for Best Supporting Podcast Host to Chris Hardwick somehow. It's Todd Brisket.
Y'all's neutrinos is showing.
Oh, God. Today we're joined by a special guest. She combines the dynamic flair of a child of the 1980s with the sass and class of a Lorelai Gilmore. It's Cosmo.
Feel the power.
Oh.
Ah, yes.
Oh, boy. You can reach us by email at parentsbasementpodcast@gmail.com and follow us on Twitter and Facebook. If you like the show, be sure to subscribe to it on iTunes and give us some stars. Also, please support the show by using our Amazon click-through link at www.ypbpodcast.com. We need to buy more masks and hip, cool things like leather jackets. Today's show is on the Emmys. Because the Emmys were last week, we thought it might be fun this week to focus on the way video games have been depicted in the most popularist of our mediums by our dear, dear, dear old friend, television. We each passed along some nominations for this week's show and tried our best to watch the selections of others, along with relying on our memory banks. So, Cosmo, you're our guest this week, so why don't you discuss your selections first?
Well, I did watch a few of the suggestions that you guys had given out, since I'm not really familiar with too many video game TV shows. But the funniest one was the Video Power. I had never seen that.
Oh, yes.
I think I was probably a senior in high school when that was out, since it was like 1990-91. I graduated in 91, so I was like, you know, a little older.
You're too old for that kiddie stuff.
I was a little old for the kiddie stuff, but it was hilarious watching it. It was some good blast from the past stuff, especially the commercials. I really enjoyed watching the commercials. Yeah. Oh, it was so good. I remembered all of that stuff, so that was really funny.
That host, Video Johnny or whatever his name is.
Johnny Arcade, my friend.
Quite charismatic.
He is. I looked him up after watching that, and he was actually, you know, I wanted to see what he was up to. And he played a character on that show, Brotherhood. Have you heard of that? It sounded familiar to me. He hasn't been in much. He's only been in a couple of things, but this Brotherhood one looks like it was his most... notable type of thing.
Pete McGonagall on Brotherhood, according
to McGonagall.
Of course. Yeah. Everyone knows Pete. Look, I'm blown away he hasn't gotten more acting work.
I only know Brotherhood vaguely because it was set in Providence. So that means people in Rhode Island went for it crazy.
I never watched that. Now I feel like I need to watch it.
Yeah, you can see Federal Hill.
Oh, cool. I used to live right near there.
Yeah. Stivy Pazkowski.
Yeah.
Is the name
Stivy?
Of Johnny Arcade.
Not even Stevie?
Is it Stevie? I wouldn't know.
S-T-I-V-I. He's some kind of Russian.
You're telling me Johnny Arcade wasn't his real name? What? He's the host. Why would he lie? That's absurd.
This will also shock you, but this show produced by Saban Entertainment.
Oh, famous for the Power Rangers.
Yeah.
What is this? Video Power?
Yeah.
I could not follow the format of the show. This was all over the place.
It's just play a game, then have a quiz, and then play a game.
Yeah.
And then wins.
It was like throw it back to the host and the audience, then throw it back to Johnny Arcade. Yeah.
The mullet man and the pink blazer.
Like radio talking and things like that. It was interesting.
Yeah, usually every decade has like a year or two holdover of its style and culture into the next decade. But this was like 93, and they were like deep 80s style, like clothes and hair still.
I don't think it was. It said it was either 90 or 91. So we're like right on the edge there, because the late 80s styles kind of carried over to like 94, 95.
I thought one of the commercials said 93.
Oh.
I might have been wrong.
Well, this, according to Wikipedia, this ran from 1990 to 1992. And it had 105 episodes. It's probably likely that it was a syndicated show. So it's probably TV stations played this 90 into 93.
They probably just kept going.
Yeah, maybe even 94. Because it's not like outside the games, there wasn't anything really time sensitive on the show.
No.
I like how the introduction, the guy says, from somewhere in the United States.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Coming. Like, why can't you just say New York?
Just tell us. Is someone going to invade the studios because they love Video Power so much?
They're trying to be secretive. And in some of the games, the episodes I watched, the kids seemed very confused about what was happening.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes. Yeah. The host was like, not just helpful. Pushing the kids all over the stage like, hey, hey, little Billy, go over here.
Yeah, they're getting shoved around, like literally, from place to place.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
According to an article, Unwinnable has a long article about this show. It was shot at the legendary Kaufman Astoria Studios, so it shared the building at the time with The Cosby Show, Glengarry Glen Ross, and Woody Allen. So
the movie?
Interesting.
Well, one of Woody Allen's Shadows and Fog.
Wow, Woody Allen and Bill Cosby in the same studio. Stay away. Kids, stay away, please.
Hopefully those kids were very well taken care of.
Yeah, it's probably why they got a discount on the filming there.
Oh.
About the Video Power, there's one reason alone that I think this is better than coming up soon, Nick Arcade. And that is, and I'm sure Steve agrees with me, is the celebratory, the winner, the run through the video game store, and you get to take everything off the walls that you can grab, and it's yours.
Yes, God, yes.
As long as you make it to the slide at the end.
Yes. Well, even then, according to Wikipedia, it just says that sometimes kids went over, and all that would happen is they, like a staffer would go in and basically shoo them out of the maze. They would still get to keep stuff.
Get out of here.
Yeah.
They have to cut that part out.
Mm-hmm. I watched
just one rushing
where
the field
made,
after the end.
They made one of the little boys sing the theme rap.
Oh, yeah. Johnny Arcade raps the beginning part.
Yeah.
So white.
It's very vanilla. Very Vanilla Ice-ish.
Yeah, he's trying hard.
Oh, yeah. And since there was some confusion over the format, they started with four contestants who played the game, and this they would get 2 minutes and 2 seconds or 1 minute and 41 seconds, and whoever had the highest score or got the furthest, depending on the game, the two winners would go on to the quiz round. The quiz round, you had to answer 10 and 20-point questions. And then the round after that was the final video game round. The winner of this one, you played a final game for about a minute. Whoever did better got a 50-point icon. So basically, it all came down to the video game playing at the end.
Yeah, that just overrode all the other rounds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then, oh, that prize round, though. That prize round was definitely, I don't even know what it's comparable to. I guess it's like supermarket.
I was about to say that.
But supermarket sweep, you didn't keep all the groceries. You got like
you got like the cash value of all of it.
Yeah, exactly.
That was the hook there. Because no one wants 14 turkeys. This would be a waste.
Go for the dog food.
I cannot believe that more game shows do not use that format, though.
Yeah, my grandma and I watch Supermarket Sweep all the time. Because she would pick me up after school when I was like 10.
Mm-hmm.
We would watch Supermarket Sweep.
What is it with kids and grandmas and game shows? Because that's like a staple of my childhood, watching Price is Right with Grandma and Wheel of Fortune.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing.
Yeah, I feel like they could bring some version of this back, but now, I don't know, people are so hung up on the pro gaming, which I don't find appealing to really watch, people play StarCraft.
They have Guy's Grocery Games.
It's Guy Fieri, though.
What?
Yeah, on the Food Network, it's Guy's Grocery Games.
Oh, Guy as in Guy apostrophe S.
Yes, Fieri. As in Guy, yeah.
Yeah.
Fieri.
No Pippins.
It would be
pipe
more...
down. Pipe down back there.
He's had three beers, so he's a little.
Oh boy.
Oh, that's all it takes.
Yeah. For the listener at home, true. Friend of the show Pippins is betrothed to friend of the show Cosmo.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
That's why he's darting around the background trying to get on there.
Yeah.
Yes, and maybe we have me. His office contains all the computers and six screens. So I was trying to use my phone in my room so I could be comfortable, but it did not work out. So I had to come in here. So he's with me. And he's on his third beer. So.
Away from his watchful stare.
Yep.
But I don't know. Power, I remember watching a bunch of episodes when I was a kid. Rewatching it now, I was like, oh, my goodness, this the host kind of freaked me out. I'm not saying he touched the kids. But
it's
I'm
a little
just
creepy.
Saying someone should look into whether he did.
I get that feeling, too. I got the feeling he was not genuine, and that they did not really care about the children.
I wouldn't say he touched the kids, but he certainly abused them physically.
Yes.
That much is on video evidence.
They did seem a bit scared.
they were just like caught deer in the headlights style. Like they had no idea what to do. Like when they would interview him in the crowd, like with Weird Mullet Man, and then they're like... What game has a guy that can fly?
How do you get to the basement level in Mansion something? How do you get to the basement?
Maniac Mansion?
Maniac Mansion, yeah.
Previously covered?
Well, yes.
Yeah, I think the show was like so eclectic and crazy. Like it was perfect for the little kid that comes home from school and is like sucking down Kool-Aid and he's all wired. But watching it now is like I have no idea what's going on. Mm. It was just all over the place.
Yeah. Life was different back then.
As long as there's like flashing lights and a host making weird jokes, I mean, mm-hmm. you were set.
That was the norm.
You were set, man.
It was like Double Dare. Double Dare was probably around
that time,
which was awesome. One of my favorite shows.
Hit Temple.
Love Double Dare.
Guts.
To kind of continue on the game show theme, I'll just talk about my pick now, which was Nickelodeon Arcade, was also
or Nick Arcade as it liked to be called.
Yeah, true. But this is the other game I watched a bunch as a kid, other game show video game kind of thing. Although I did not like it as much as Video Power because there are a couple key differences.
You not like it because it had actual structure and you could follow what was happening? was that the issue?
That part was a little bit
as a young kid with ADD, Video Power is much more entertaining.
Little Debbie's.
That's true. There was a couple... infuriating things about Nick Arcade. One was that they clearly just like were pulling kids off the street at like Universal Studios and just and just having them play whether they liked video games or not. Like, because some people were clearly horrible at it. Like, They could not play a video game, which was frustrating to watch.
I liked at the beginning, I think that was the one I watched, where you have to kind of play, you have to go head to head at the beginning and play like Pong. And then if you win Pong, you get to go first.
Oh yeah. In Nick Arcade, they have a custom made video game that you play first that puts red against yellow to decide who is the leader.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's basically Pong. You basically have to just like bounce the ball and
not always Pong. They have different ones. One I saw this week was some kind of racing game on the moon.
Patrol?
No. They made a custom video game for the TV show.
Oh.
That they play.
Yeah, that
is part of the reason why I didn't like it as much as Video Powers, because what is this garbage fake game they're playing? And this isn't on Nintendo.
Well, like the middle rounds had real games, right? The actual arcade games?
They did, yeah.
Yes.
But the real hook, similar to the lightning or the grab all the toys round in the other one, was the you get to go inside the game at the end for the final round.
Now see, you
which
say...
was this, hang on, which yep, was this horrendous yep. green screen atrocity. No one seemed to know what to do.
Yes. You say real hook, but but watching one, it was not really entertaining to watch. It was like watching these kids like struggle dealing with the idea of the green screen, like reaching awkwardly behind them while they're looking at a monitor.
The monitor off to the side.
It's more frustrating to watch Nick Arcade's final sequence than watch kids stumble around with the golden monkey on Legend of the Hidden Temple.
Oh yeah,
Hidden Temple's light years ahead of any game show.
I feel like the win percentages for both were similarly low, and also on both, like you're ultimately playing for like these kind of weird crappy prizes, like. Yeah. We're going to send you on a vacation, even though you're already on vacation.
So it's like to some ranch.
Yeah, here's...
like
here's...
One of them I saw, one prize I saw, I was like, oh, and for being a contestant on the show, you're getting a box of lollipops.
Yeah. You get ring pops.
Yeah. Yeah, we're sending you mountain bikes, because there's nothing kids who play video games like more than bikes. Going
outside. Exercise, being outside.
Yeah, I'm also looking at the list of games that they played on Nickelodeon Arcade, and it's better than I remember, because I feel like what they actually played was Chuck Rock like 50 million times. Mm-hmm. But no, there are some decent games on here, like Legend of the Mystical Ninja and Super R-Type.
I watched Sonic the Hedgehog.
Oh. Mm-hmm. I remember them playing Ghouls and Goblins like constantly.
Yes,
Ghouls and Ghosts.
Yeah, that's on here. Well, they also probably wanted something tough that kids would actually not be that good on.
They would lose in like a minute.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Bonk's Revenge. So.
Oh, Bonk.
But yeah, I just remembered like you'd have these. Oh, the puzzle rounds, too. Well, not puzzle rounds, but the way you actually played the game was, like, you'd have video game challenges between the rounds, and then, like, it was kind of like set up like a board game, a digital board game, and you would move your character to the left or to the right, like, toward the exit, kind of.
Yeah.
Any square you landed on, you would have stuff like, there'd be puzzles that you'd have to solve, or... video game trivia, or you know, kind of that stuff. Which I don't know. It was okay, but it was nothing. It was nothing groundbreaking. And for a game show that was about video games, you'd think all of it would be about video games. But no, there's kind of a bunch of random luck involved and kind of that kind of stuff. So anyway, I don't know. Did you guys have any other thoughts about the Nick Arcade here? I definitely think it's the most well-known of, you know, kind of these kind of shows.
How many of these shows were there? These are the only two I know about that were on when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
Video game shows?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I feel like I think G4 did stuff, Like, it's Nickelodeon Arcade is remembered. I think it's remembered more fondly than anything G4 ever did. So,
well, I think Nick Arcade was on. Well, it was on later than Video Power, so yeah. I think it hit that sweet spot of like kids. More kids were playing games, and then they actually were able to recognize what was happening.
Yes. I actually can't even find. Okay, Nick Arcade had 84 episodes, and it basically ran from. Wow, that's weird. It only ran from July 4th to November 6th, 1992. So those.
Really?
Well, those.
And they did 84 episodes? Wow.
It sounds like they just taped a batch of them for like a year and then did not come back to it. Nickelodeon back in the day, I believe, would just keep showing the same batches of shows over and over again. Oh, here we go. Wikipedia says it ran until September 1997.
Whoa.
With just those same batch of 80-something shows, it looks like.
It's kind of just what they did.
Yeah, it's kind of what Nickelodeon did back in the day. And if you notice, I have a list of the games from Nickelodeon Arcade. None of them came out after 1992. Even though...
Intrigue.
Yeah, even though Nickelodeon apparently showed the show until late 1997. So, this show was on air at the same time of, like, Nintendo 64.
They played ActRaiser on this show.
Oh.
Yeah.
How many citizens can you save with your flying baby?
Save them all.
Yeah.
It's probably just the side-scrolling part.
Hey, kids, we want you to play God today. I don't know. Did you guys have any other thoughts here about Nickelodeon Arcade?
I don't think so. It's pretty straightforward.
No, this is definitely the one that people remember most, only because it was on Nickelodeon, and everyone had Nickelodeon. Video Power, I remember just because I remember it more because it was syndicated in Texas where I lived, and I watched it every Saturday morning.
Oh.
Yeah, you guys are right that I definitely remember the grab all the games at the end part, because like, that was like a dream of mine. I mean, it's a dream of all children, I'm sure. Like, you look at that hall at the end, you're like, oh my god. So you get like two games at Christmas and you're like blown away. And then this guy gets like 14 just running through that little store at the end. It's an embarrassment of riches.
I agree. Well, let's move on to some of the other programs. Brisket's Best. What's your pick, Brisket?
Sure, my pick is a documentary, one of the greatest of all time, and it is the season 5, episode 6 of Star Trek: The Next Generation, called The Game.
Oh.
And this one came out on October 26, 1991. In this episode, it is about. The show opens with Commander Riker on the pleasure planet Risa chasing around a prostitute that has breasts and a vagina on her forehead.
As one does.
Yep. And she gives Riker a headset that you look
at.
Is
that a term for using her head genitalia? Or
oh, yeah.
is that different?
Well, she gives him a headset, then she gives him something... That
to
put on
to
that.
Play a game with.
Yeah.
Is that really true? Wasn't that show on regular TV? They can't show that. Is that really true?
Well, it's she has like four.
It's behind a screen. Yeah,
she has forehead ridges.
Oh, okay.
I don't know.
Yeah, I gotta find a picture to show you.
Oh, boy.
Okay. Whenever he plays this headset, this video game. When you put it on, it shoots video games into your eyeballs.
Oh,
and
the Google Glass.
Game, in this game, this is the origins of virtual reality. This is where Steam, and it's where Oculus and all those guys got their idea from. They saw this episode of Star Trek, and they saw how the game gets shot right into your eyes. You move your head around, and it's in virtual reality. Actually, it's more kind of an augmented reality because it overlays what you're seeing. Mm. And what you do in this game is you have floating
catch Pokemon.
Discs. You have floating discs that you throw into funnels on a checkerboard.
What?
And that's all it is.
So it's like a carnival,
some kind of
some carny ride.
Yeah. Yeah.
Some carny game.
This is using 1991 computer generated graphics. So
yes.
So when you play this game, it gives you some kind of serotonin, release so that it calms you down, and it's like a drug. And Riker starts spreading this game all over the Enterprise. Everybody's getting hooked on it. They're getting hooked on this game.
Ooh.
Everybody's shooting the game up into their eyeballs. Mm-hmm. And it's down to the entire crew is hypnotized by this game, except for the return of Wesley Crusher, who left after the second season, I think. And the only other person on the ship who was not addicted is a 23-year-old Ashley Judd as Ensign Robin Loeffler. And this is her.
Because she's a girl, she doesn't play games.
Oh, that's kind of what they're saying. It's like, I don't. What are these people playing this game? I don't like this game here. That's Ashley Judd.
Yeah, she's like, I'd rather watch some Kentucky basketball.
Spot on.
No, this is a weird thing watching this episode is because Ashley Judd is the only person in the entire 24th century or whatever this has that had that action right now.
She is, maybe not coincidentally, she's also the only person in the 24th century who wants to get with Wesley Crusher.
That's a good point.
Oh. Who is Wesley Crusher?
Some nerd.
Will Wheaton.
Oh, Will Wheaton. Okay.
How do you know Will Wheaton, but you don't know?
He was on some other show. Will Wheaton was on some other show. I forget which.
I thought this was like the only show he's been on.
No,
and
he's on
like
some
built
other
his
show.
Empire off of it.
Oh, I can't think of it. My sister used to watch it.
Stand by Me.
Was it called
Stand by Me?
Called Trek Star.
No. Star Trails.
Toy Soldiers.
Of course.
He's a recurring role as a fictionalized version of himself on the CBS sitcom The Big Bang Theory.
Oh God, it's probably it. It's probably the old Big Bangers.
He was also roommate with Chris Hardwick.
Ugh.
Ugh.
See, that's funny because like you'd think of all the nerds on that Star Trek Enterprise ship, Wesley Crusher would be the one that was addicted to it first.
Oh, that's what I was thinking too. It's like,
but he's the one that's not playing it.
When he got on the ship and his mom, Dr. Beverly Crusher, was playing it, and she's like, oh, Will, I have this game here. You must try.
She
you must try.
Out of character?
She was so high on the high yeah, playing the game, she came out of character.
Like, oh, man, this game's so good, Will. It's amazing.
I don't know why that's so funny to me.
If you'd like that one.
Yeah. Well,
no, I
is
not
looking
this.
So good in his right now.
He's got a
he's
kind of
puffed up a little bit, yeah.
Yeah, a little puffy. Chubby face.
Looks like Albert.
But that should only make you angrier when you see a picture of Anne Weed, who is his wife.
Is she beautiful?
Oh God, yes, of course.
I think I might have gotten Will Wheaton confused with the kid from Third Rock from the Sun, who was also in the
AGL?
One.
Yeah, Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Yes, he was in Inception.
Yeah,
I think I confused those two because they were on at the same time.
He stole information from the FBI.
Yeah, he's in that new movie Snowden, which is like Jason Bourne, but boring.
Jason Bourne. It's right there, man.
that's why you're the master, and we're just all pupils. You're
all just learning.
You're still at your knee.
must have been Stand By Me that I was thinking of. Okay. Sorry. Move on.
this episode, by the way, I watched it like an hour or two ago. It is very uncomfortable to watch because as people are playing the game, like they have on like an orgasm face like the entire time.
Oh yeah. Oh, boy. Yeah.
So
they're staring off into nothing, and like they're climaxing as well.
Yes, they're like they're like moaning softly as they're playing the game.
Oh, you get to see Peace Stew.
Some of them get the shudders.
Yes, you get to see crazy eyed Riker, who it's just terrifying. So,
yeah. So this episode, I don't know if it's some kind of admonishment of the video game industry that's making everybody zombies or what. Anyways, it's just a bad episode of Next Generation.
It really is. I mean, there are some really good episodes of TNG, very story-driven, that are fun. No, this is clearly one of those throwaway episodes. I think all of it takes place on the Enterprise. So you can... Like, there's, like, one scene at the beginning with Riker and his prostitute.
That's how they all open, right?
Well...
Find some new prostitute and then the adventure begins.
I mean, kind of a good portion of them, but... Burly William Riker. Mm.
I don't think I've ever watched an actual episode of that show.
Nah, don't bother.
I have seen the old Star Trek, like the original Star Trek. I remember watching that with my stepdad when I was a kid. Mm. But the Next Generation I never watched.
I mean, Next Generation is kind of... It is kind of actually loftier and better in a lot of episodes. But it takes itself very seriously most of the time.
Like there's less implied race wars.
Yes, John.
Because it wasn't the 60s.
Jean-Luc Picard is a dignified commander.
I like him.
He does not get off the ship to get with any strange green-skinned alien ladies.
Yes.
That's Riker's territory.
Yeah, it pretty much is. Yeah, Riker is much more the Captain Kirk of that show. Picard is just a fussy old man who's too busy getting kidnapped by the Borg.
What a jerk.
Hates kids. So, yeah, Todd also just shared a picture of this lady's butt vagina, it looks like.
Yeah, he wasn't lying.
Yeah. It is...
Okay. Yeah, what? Well...
She has a clitoris.
Oh, she sure does.
Yeah, it is. She is. She's not a good looking lady.
I bet she's pretty under all that.
Deep down.
Well, if you took all that makeup off her, I'm sure she's an attractive woman.
Yes.
Sure.
Look up the actress. I'm sure she's
pretty. It's makeup, I mean, who knows?
I mean, it's Hollywood. Even if they're going to cake 20 pounds of makeup on you, they're not going to hire any fatties.
Uh-oh. Maybe
and
we'll
then we do a false snow.
And this... Whoop.
Sorry about that.
There we go.
I had to cough, so I tried to mute myself, but I hung up my
app. You hit the hang-up?
I did. Sorry. I'm back.
So I just shared another picture of the same actress in another Star Trek role where she has a ribbed for her pleasure nose.
Nose, yeah.
She's pretty. She's a pretty actress.
Oh, yeah. She's fine.
It's funny that she just plays two different aliens. They just put different makeup on her.
Mm-hmm. Well, as someone who's
that's like old school Star Trek mentality.
As someone who's making his way through Voyager right now, they do this all the time because I'll look up the actress and then it's like, oh yeah, by the way, she was in six other episodes. You just didn't realize it because she was in makeup.
They just reused the same people.
Yeah. It's kind of like Law and Order does the same thing too, but Law and Order, you immediately notice that, hey,
yeah, it's harder to get away with it there.
Yeah. It's like Lenny Briscoe. Wait, you were just an attorney a season ago. Now you're the partner of Curtis? All right, well, I'll go with this.
or the most egregious is the is Deadwood and Garrett Dillahunt, who played a character in the first season in a few episodes and a character in the second season in a few episodes, and completely different people. They just look and talk exactly the same.
But he's so great, it didn't matter.
That is kind of weird, though. That's not normally an HBO move. Oh, good for them.
I think they just like the way he fit into the setting.
Mm-hmm.
Or so I read. So they're just like, let's just bring him back anyway. Who cares?
All them peoples won't notice. Nah. All them sheeple will just be happy there's programming on their TV box.
The talkies.
Huel, did you check out this Next Generation episode?
This is one I did not get around to watching.
So it's me and Brisket watched this one. Then it's you'll never guess, but at the end they managed to overcome.
Oh, this wasn't the last episode of the series?
No.
Where everyone?
No, this did not kill the entire crew.
Huh? Weird.
Nope. they get saved by Data, and first they had managed to take over the entire ship because they turned Data off. He's the android fellow.
That's all they had to do. Just hit his power switch.
Pretty much. They just
Who's they? Like the people taken over by the game?
No, when they were hypnotized by the eyeball shooters, they're under the power of the alien entity who, spoiler alert, the woman at the beginning who gave the visor to Riker is also the same vagina head that is trying to take over the ship.
Yes.
So
what a quinky dink.
So under her influence, she convinces a few people to take Data out. So because he's the only threat. He's the only non-organic person, so he wouldn't be affected by the game.
He doesn't care about serotonin.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Do you think they did that on purpose, make it look like a vagina?
Nothing looks like a vagina by accident. It's always on purpose.
Oh, my God.
That's so blatant.
Words of wisdom by Huel right there.
Keep that one in your back pocket.
Mm-hmm. And tell my children it someday. So nothing looks like a vagina by accident.
Gather around.
Data manages to... Well, the Crusher and his new best friend ever, lover, Ashley Judd, they managed to get Data back working, and then he saves the day at the very last minute with a pulsating light.
Mm.
So, then they lived all happily ever after the end.
Good.
Huel, what's some of your must-see TV this week?
Well, in a fit of laziness, I nominated the exact same show I talked about last week, which was the Are You Afraid of the Dark episode, The Pinball Wizard.
Mm-hmm.
But this time I actually watched it back again. And after watching it and then listening back to last week's episode, my description was still surprisingly accurate.
Mm-hmm.
Where the kid is like, he just hangs around the shop owner and like wants to work at the store for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy won't let him, and he's like,
he's a street urchin.
Yeah, he's some sort of street kid. He's used to being off on his own.
Mm-hmm.
Used to fill in time. So like, he lets him watch the shop for an hour because he's annoying enough to let him do that. Then he starts playing this mysterious game in the back, this new pinball machine.
Yes.
That like the shop owner won't let him play. He's like, oh, he's gone now. I'm gonna go play this thing. And it's like about a princess and a witch and a guy with a mace or something. Oh, but before that, we must note, we get the smoke show come in looking for a music box with a record scratch. He's like, boop, boop.
This is the episode where Huel found himself.
Yeah, this is where I got my fetish for high-waisted jeans.
Mm-hmm. Oh, by the way, I did look up this actress. She was 18 at the time of this film.
Yeah, and I looked her up even more on a website called Mr. Skin, and she's made quite a few appearances.
Well, let me write this down. Hang on a second. Okay. Notes taken.
Okay, go ahead.
So yeah, she comes into the shop and he's like, "I don't really work here. Wait for the shop owner to come back."
Mm-hmm.
So then after she leaves, he then starts playing this game, and then like what we see is like he plays it so long the mall closes, but what actually happens is he's sucked into the game and starts playing the game within the mall.
A pinball game.
Yeah, for some reason it's like they have all these video game references, but it's actually...
Yeah, and they have video game sounds like, oh, I got to level 3. Like,
bloop, bloop, bloop. There's no levels in a pinball game, but yeah. the writers either never played a video game before, or they just...
Oh, The set designer was like, this is a pinball game, and then the sound effect people were like, we have this stockpile of video games we've been saving up. We need to use them on this pinball.
But then the writer mixed up both. It's like we have him playing a pinball machine, but it's actually a video game. So it was very strange. So then all the game characters start appearing in the mall and he has to beat them. But like the princess from the pinball machine is the girl that comes into the shop.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like all this weird crossover stuff.
Sophie, played by Polly Shannon.
Yes. Of course.
She's the high-waisted jeans girl.
Right. I think she was on SNL too.
What?
Molly Shannon.
Oh. But so yeah, I was right, but like he sort of wins at the end, but like once he wins, like it starts over like from the beginning from where he started. Mm-hmm. Because the shop owner comes back and realizes he's trapped in there and won't let him out because he's mad that he started playing the game or something. So that's apt punishment, to be trapped in this game forever just because you didn't listen to the guy you don't actually work for. So yeah, it all made sense.
It seemed like a harsh punishment to me, and it was also somewhat confusing. Like, does the shop owner have magical powers? Like,
I think the game.
Oh no,
he just collects
street urchins inside of his pinball machine.
I wrote down. They were. Did you guys also watch this at all?
Yeah, I watched it. Yes. Okay.
So in the beginning, they reference a Steven who used to work at the shop.
Mm-hmm.
And it's implied that he got fired, but my detective skills think he was also sucked into the game somewhere. That's why he's not around anymore.
Oh, no, I just gave like 3 long years of my life to that shop, and I just wanted to move on to different opportunities.
Oh, okay. You were tired of the tyrannical iron fist of the shop owner.
Yeah, I mean, there's only...
I mean, he had harsh rules. He couldn't even touch the merchandise. He couldn't play with it.
You couldn't get up?
I mean, I was going to fix Sophie's music box before I left, but...
You fixed her other box instead.
Yeah, that's what I did.
Wow. Pew, pew, pew.
Thanks.
Sorry, Hawks.
Goodness. Why did he turn him blue?
My goodness.
I don't know. This was like most Are You Afraid of the Dark episodes to me, where it kind of seems like it's Twilight Zone or Tales from the Crypt. Like, oh, isn't that ironic? What it's teaching us something about ourselves in such a profound way. Except then you really think about it, and you're like, well, no, not really. Like, this was just a kid who was playing a video. He was playing pinball, and for some reason he. It seems like it was quite the transgression to...
Yeah.
Sorry, I think that
you're dead now.
They tried to go with the classic gypsy curse, because at the beginning of the episode, when he's fishing for quarters in the pond, he gets into a fight with this other elderly woman wrapped up in rags, and I think she put the curse on him.
But it doesn't make sense, because the shop owner at the end like seemed to know that this would happen.
Mm-hmm. I think they're in cahoots.
Oh, no.
The shop owner is in with the mall fountain gypsy.
Gypsy woman.
Well, I guess that was the somewhat confusing part to me, where I thought this was going to turn out to be like, oh, it's all just a dream episode.
Right.
But instead, like, I guess it must be, you know, the magic of the game manifest people he met that day into being like the princess and the mall hag and other stuff.
Classic mall hag.
Yep.
We've all encountered those.
So many of them.
Classic mall hag.
But no,
so yeah, it's just as bad as I remember.
Yeah. I mean, it's not good anymore. It's little kid stuff. That's what it is.
I don't think I've ever seen one of those episodes.
Oh, Are You Afraid of the Dark?
Yes.
Oh.
It was in your cool era, so I'm sure you weren't watching.
Yeah,
it.
She was out. She was out
smoking
in town with the mm-hmm. the fellas.
She had her mm-hmm. she had a cigarette pack rolled up in her sleeve.
Mm-hmm. Now, Are You Afraid of the Dark is known as a Nickelodeon show, but like many of their early shows, once again, it is a product of Canada.
Mm-hmm.
Which,
yeah, that's why all the kids always say sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's also why Cuthbert's in this show.
Oh yeah.
In later.
Yeah, I think I either like grew out of the show later on, or they just didn't air later seasons in America. Because like when I looked it up on like Wikipedia and stuff, and there's some later seasons I don't remember happening.
Oh, I saw this went all the way to the year 2000. What I saw, and that's really? Yeah, that's way past when I watched it. I think this was a SNCC staple, if I'm not mistaken.
Right, that's true.
And that's when I watched it, went on in the SNCC block.
Oh, they can't show this during the day. They can't show this during the day. No, no.
Oh no, no, no.
Oh.
This is for the older kids.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, absolutely.
Don't want those other kids accidentally stumbling upon this one.
Yeah. The thing I loved about this show is two things. First of all, the intro.
The
intro theme song and the settings and the videography and cinematography is awesome, especially when you're going up into the attic and it pans over from the skateboard to the scary clown doll. Man.
Unmatched. Wow.
And also the other thing I love about the show is that that weird kid with the glasses that's in every episode.
Oh, yeah, the nerd leader.
Yeah, the nerd leader, him throwing that crack cocaine on the fire. That is awesome.
Lighten up that coke.
I remember watching Twilight Zone, but that's about it. Can you still hear me?
Yeah, you sound good now, Smo.
Okay.
Sweet. Yeah, I think this was clearly meant to be like, you know, Twilight Zone for kids or Tales from the Crypt Keeper for kids. You know, it was fairly successful. I think it eventually got edged out by Goosebumps. Like the I think Goosebumps the TV show may have eventually surpass this. Goosebumps the TV show was from 95 to 98. So that kind of coincides with, I don't know, Are You Afraid of the Dark ran through Goosebumps, but I feel like by the end Goosebumps was more of a thing than Are You Afraid of the Dark.
The Goosebumps show was terrible.
The books were good.
Yeah.
Yes. I don't know. Goosebumps.
Well, no.
As a kid, I mean, come on.
As a kid.
I'm not going to read them now.
I mean, Goosebumps, I feel, was a little bit safer than Are You Afraid of the Dark, where, especially, well, I mentioned this last week, too, that clown episode of Are You Afraid of the Dark.
Oh, yeah.
Legitimately not really for kids.
Zeebo is like an actual scary episode. Like this pinball one was stupid, but
mm-hmm.
there are some. There's like 5 or 10 that are actually scary.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and
yes, and there we go.
Actually, it's weird. I didn't realize the clown one was really early in the run. Like
yeah, most of the good ones are early on.
It was the second episode. For some reason, I thought it was like further along. So, but no, first one.
There it is.
Mm-hmm. And it wasn't even the first first, the only clown episode. Apparently, there was another clown episode. So,
who likes clowns?
Good
Nobody.
To know.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, did you have any? Did you have any other thoughts here about Are You Afraid of the Dark there, Huel?
Not really. Like I said, there's some good shows in general, but this episode, watching it again, is pretty bad.
Oh, yeah. It's like the entire episode is supposed to be a scary show, but it's more just like a what in the hell is going on here?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the main character does pull that line. He's like, well, I'm not going anywhere until you tell me what's going on. Blah, blah, blah.
Blah, blah. Damn kids, get off my lawn.
he was not an old man.
Hey, stop
pointing like it.
It might have.
Stop playing with your pinball games, even though I run a shop that repairs pinball games.
Yeah, exactly.
Damn kids.
I love pinball. It's one of my favorite things to do.
Mm-hmm.
It's good times.
All right. Well, moving right along here, I think. Were there any miscellaneous TV shows that anyone wanted to bring up that had video games on them?
Well, we did mention previously the Simpsons.
Oh, yeah.
Has a wide array of video game references, but I think everyone's favorite is probably Lee Carvallo's Putting Challenge.
Yes. Yes, Lee Carvallo.
One of the greatest end credit sequences of all time.
Mm-hmm. You have selected no.
No. Would you like to try again? You have selected no.
Yep. It's good stuff. All of the fake games on The Simpsons, of which there are, you know, there are whole website articles devoted to them, they seem much more interesting than plenty of real games. So.
Yeah, you got Larry the Looter is one that jumps to mind.
Yeah.
Bone Storm from the same Putting Challenge episode.
Mm-hmm.
Which we never actually see screenshots of.
Nope.
We just see Milhouse entering his name. Thrillhouse.
Yes. Oh, God.
Hockey Dad.
Yes.
I found a list of them. Assassin's Creed, Summer of Love.
Yeah, they've kept it up with recent years, and even in recent years, they have gone contemporary with them. Touch of Death is a well-remembered
one.
Oh,
that's a classic one, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. My Dinner with Andre, the game.
Oh, yeah! I remember it. That was amazing.
Yeah.
That was incredible.
Yep. Panamanian Strongman. Kevin Costner's Waterworld.
I'm glad they clarified it was Kevin Costner's.
Yeah. Oh, Dash Dingo was a prominent one.
Yes.
The one that Lisa stays home playing. Virtual Doctor. Billy Graham's Bible Blaster.
Kevin Costner's Waterworld.
Just said that.
Yeah. Rocky III versus Clara Peller.
What?
Yeah. Earthland Realms, which was kind of their take on World of Warcraft.
Mm. Yeah, you're getting the later seasons. I have no idea what's happening.
Yeah, and... Well, and also this
I don't list, acknowledge their existence.
This list only goes up to season 18, and we're on like season 25 now. Oh my goodness. So, yeah, there's a lot of good ones on the Simpsons.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But we're going a little long today, so let's move along to the emails, guys.
Ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba
Todd, did you receive any emails this week?
Unfortunately, no.
Oh. I'm sorry to hear that. Well, in that case, Smo, I know you're a guest, and it'd be weird if you had gotten an email, but did you receive any emails this week?
Well, as weird as it is, I did actually receive an email.
Oh, well, oh, and just to be clear, and it's an email about our show, about your parents' basement.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Okay, go ahead then.
And I will read it now.
Okay.
Let's see. It says, "Dear YPB boys and Cosmo," which is strange because, you know,
yeah,
she might, I don't really know how she knew I was going to be on, but
mm-hmm. Anyway, who is she?
I'm spoiling it. Sorry. Let's just start again. Here it goes. I wanted to give you all an update on the latest with me and Scooty. So I suppose you can tell who this is from.
Oh.
Yes, mm-mm. It is from our friend, Cootersled69.
Oh, Cootie.
So she says, oh, Cootie. Oh, Cootie says. So she says, I want to give you all an update on the latest with me and Scooty. Dot, dot, dot. That Ooh. Bastard never showed up for our meeting.
Oh.
It was always this excuse or that, but for whatever reason, he could not make time for me. After all those texts,
Ooh.
Parentheses, SMH. I was sad for a while, then I decided I must move on. So, I have a new boyfriend. He's a guy from California, but I think he grew up in Iowa. He's so sweet. In his text to me, he's very helpful with any questions I ask him. He always provides a helpful link. I'm really looking forward to meeting him someday. And then she drew a heart. Since this episode is about TV shows, what is your favorite love story from a TV show? Sincerely yours, CS69.
Oh, well, this is tragic.
Hmm. I was very sad when I read that. I had some tears when I read that.
They're coming to me now.
Cootie and Scooty are no more. What's up with that?
Well, I'm just glad that I will not have to be paying more into welfare for those.
I honestly can't blame her.
She was waiting a long time. It was a long time. She had to move on. She had to. She's not a lady who waits, apparently.
No. And I mean, she has, a worthy suitor, it sounds like, now, so.
He's very helpful.
Extremely.
What are our favorite love stories from TV shows? Was that, mm-hmm.
That was the question.
That was the ask?
Yes.
I mean, it's cliche, but I'm a fan of Lost, Desmond and Penelope.
Aww. Oh yeah, that's a good point. Is that really cliche? I'm not sure.
I feel it's a good pick. Yeah, I feel like that's the obvious answer. Hmm. Like from the 2000s, I'd say.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Good one.
Yeah.
How about you, Huel? What's your favorite love story from a TV?
Me? I mean, the first one that comes to mind is probably Jack Bauer and The Art of Torture. I mean, that's a love story that really, really stood the test of time. I mean,
yeah. What they should have done is have him hook up with Cuthbert because, man, she's a smoke show.
That was his daughter, so.
It's just a TV show. It's not real.
Work out too well.
Cuthbert's too busy making her way through the NHL. Like, that's not going to work.
Yeah. She's laying waste team by team.
Well, Brisket, what about you?
I'm going to go with George Michael and Ann Ville.
Oh, very nice.
Her. him and Egg had quite the relationship, so.
What is that from?
Nose is the Ann on Plane's face.
Arrested Development.
Oh, I have not seen that.
Oh, my God.
I know. I've seen one or two episodes, but I never really got
She's
into
still
it,
here.
And I really should.
Mm. Yeah, you can just do the first three seasons.
Yeah. I've been meaning to watch it.
I mean, it's good. It's real good. So. I don't know. It is one of those shows, though, that, God, it is work to get into it. Like, you need some time.
I completely disagree.
Yeah.
That first episode or two is kind of rough. So.
All right, but, like, it's worth it.
Yeah, but, Kuhl, sometimes I just want to put my feet up. I just want to laugh at the things
pop
that
on,
people...
Pop on some Big Bang Theory.
Oh, man. See, it's funny because they're nerds, and they say
play things... That one guy goes, bazingas.
Yeah, they say things we don't understand.
Bajangles.
But they can't interact with normal human beings who like Chevy trucks and steaks.
This Whoa! Hey, guys, did you see him? He made a Star Trek reference on this episode. Ooh.
He said Enterprise. It was hilarious.
All right then. Well, Huel, did you receive any emails this week?
You know what? I did, and this might be hard to read, but
oh boy,
mm-hmm.
here we go.
Oh boy,
dear YPB. It's been a long journey, but I'm nearly at the end. I'm boarding the ship to get to Cooter Slut 69. I'm so close. I hope she's still waiting.
Oh, boy.
I can feel our love growing.
Oh, boy.
If this doesn't work out, I don't know what I'll do. The anticipation is killing me. That reminds me, what's the game you've ever anticipated the release of the most? Impatiently, Scooterbutt 42.
Oh,
ooh, great ask.
Yeah, the timing is impeccable here. I hope he never hears this episode.
Ships in the wind.
I hope so, too.
Ships in... Oh, is that a ships, phrase?
Ships of the sky.
Ships in the wind.
You know, they're sailing around.
Crossing like ships in the wind.
Some might say like ships in the night, but... That's only what some
now, who,
say.
You gotta sail during the day so you can actually see what's going on. I heard that,
yeah.
Well.
What game have we eagerly...
Nope. I'll go for it. My most eager, my entire life, you know, kind of grew up as a teenager and didn't care as much about video games.
Of course.
So my peak anticipation was probably for... Super Mario 64.
Oh,
wait for that bad boy to come out. Put my hands on it. run that Mario around in the real world.
Good gaming.
I think mine would probably be a tie. Chrono Trigger. I did not get like. I was too young to have gotten it like the first week it came out or month. But back in the Super Nintendo days, like. You were lucky if your local game store even had, like, obscure, weird games like that. Like, and by local game store, I mean, like, the Stop and Shop where you rented video games, or, like, the Kmart that you could buy games from. So...
Was that a rare game back then?
Chrono Trigger?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Hmm.
Like, it was
so,
also,
it's just
like,
one I always hear about now, so maybe I don't know about...
I was actually
in the time.
this past weekend I was at a video game store in Boston, like one of those little hobby stores where they have, you know, a whole bunch of fancy games. They were selling a box copy for $250, Chrono Trigger.
Wow.
Yep, and I had it, and I think I traded it straight up for like some crappy game. I didn't trade it. My friend borrowed it, never returned it. So.
Oh, it's even worse.
I know. I should find him now, except he probably traded it for, like,
and
you
steal
know.
$250 from him.
Yeah. Feels like a fair trade. Yeah. No, so Chrono Trigger, I remember, like, just looking for it for months and finally getting, like, I loved that game when I had it. And also Final Fantasy VII. Like, that was a That was a big one for me.
You and them RPGs.
Hey, man. I don't know. I might do that again for... Well, Fallout 4 was a huge deal.
That was a big one.
Like,
sure.
I bought an entire system for it, so... And I don't know. Final Fantasy 15 comes out this year, but I'm...
Does it?
I think it might. I don't know. It could get
Does
delayed.
Does it have a shot?
It could get delayed any day now.
Any second.
Yeah. But I'm a little leery about it because one of the main advertised features is that you get to drive a car in it, which has been a normal gameplay element for pretty much many other games for like 15 years. So we'll see.
Yep.
Huel, did you have a selection of your own?
The one that I was counting down the days for was Ocarina of Time.
Oh.
That one I was very much looking forward to.
Mm-hmm.
And I will say it lived up to every expectation.
Oh, how nice.
Very good. Very good game.
You seen the, how about that new Zelda's? You like that
one? I didn't watch the food cooking demo or whatever, but yeah, I'm looking forward to it for sure.
Yes, that was
I've played every single one since then, so.
The hot news of the week of...
Oh, yeah. Whatever this is.
September 19th is that they released a video of the food cooking in the Zelda game.
Cannot wait.
There's also like a 10-second snippet of combat, and that actually did look kind of cool. I was like, oh, that looks neat.
Maybe it looks much more open world, much more free form.
Yeah, it made me actually want to play a Zelda game for the first time since Ocarina of Time.
It's because you're insane and dumb.
True, good point. let's move right along to...
Sure.
I received an email. Although,
well, we never got Cosmo's answer.
Oh, yeah.
Moon Patrol 2? Still anticipating that one.
Yeah. No, nothing really anticipating on the game horizon. Except the next Candy Crush level.
There we go.
We'll just go with that.
I made it to level 100 the other night.
On which one? Jelly?
The original. Whatever the
slow
original
down, slow down.
Get off that original.
Pump
what
the
are you
brakes
doing?
There. Mm. Jelly is a bitch.
Yeah, but...
Steve, if you're playing original Candy Crush, that's like Pokemon Go coming out and you going and playing Ingress.
Well, wait. Sounds
shifty.
Well, listen.
What idiot would do that?
I don't even know what idiot would do that.
Guys, I can't just skip from Candy Crush to Candy Crush Jelly. I need to get through the story of Candy Crush before I can start the sequel.
Yeah, you won't know. Are you a completionist? What's going on.
Yeah, and apparently there's only 3,000 levels, so
I'm
1/30th of the way there.
Well, on your way. I mean, it is a deep story-driven RPG system, and it gets you hooked into the story.
Yeah, they have little skits between like every 20
episodes. Yeah, Licorice Larry. There's the Jelly Queen. There's lots of characters.
Don't even mention.
I had to help some dragon that was crying. And he was crying at the Lemonade Lake, I think. So
it's ancient history, man.
Yeah. You guys can't even remember. You're just too far gone.
I do. I can't even remember that. I'm too much into Licorice Larry trying to collect Monklings at this point.
Yeah. I'm just trying to get past the bubblegum troll.
I can't get those effing pufflers.
Oh, I hate the pufflers. Oh, the pufflers are killing me.
I've been caught on level 68 for about a month.
Ooh, I'll
jelly.
Have to check out 68. I think I'm on like 200 jelly.
I play normal just to get away from jelly because I can't take it.
Yeah. Well, at least do soda. At least soda's a little bit better than regular.
Soda is better than soda's like the between jelly and regular Candy Crush.
Which is just torturous.
If I run out of lives, I go to soda.
I am just playing them in order, guys, and. If I run out of lives, you know what I do? Or if I get stuck waiting for people to unblock my progress, I just flip over to the nighttime Candy Crush with
the owl.
Oh, true.
Yeah, that goddamn owl.
The sexual owl.
Oh, he is the worst. Otis.
Otis.
I didn't even learn his name. That's how much I disrespect him.
Oh. I like how it punishes you for stuff that is not under your control. Like how you'll match something and then 15 candies will fall down that weren't even on the board, and then they'll match and knock the owl down. It's like, oh, this is fair.
It's a game of skill, man.
Oh, just wait. The unfairness persists in Jelly.
It's almost like they want me to spend money.
Jelly is the worst game ever made.
Anyway, here's the email I received.
A 200, Hurl.
Which is weird because it is not addressed to me. Dear Huell Hauser, congratulations. You are our grand prize winner. You can expect the delivery of the Kenmore 7100 any day now. It is perfect for all the varieties of Tostitos pizza rolls you could ever want.
You can't even get through it.
Congrats again from the from the folks of Toaster Oven Monthly.
Son of a bitch.
I apparently you entered this contest. And it also says,
yeah. It's only my own fault.
And again, I'd like to remind you, please stop using the show email for extra entries for this stuff, Huell.
Look, man, I only have so many self-addressed stamped envelopes. I can't waste them on Toaster Oven Monthly.
And it also says, P.S., we were wondering if you had any thoughts on pinball games.
Oh. So well, we lightly touched on this earlier.
Yeah. Apparently, the folks at Toaster Oven Monthly do listen to the show.
Big pinball fans.
Yeah. That seems
Mars
appropriate.
Attacks. Best pinball game.
Oh.
Which one?
Mars Attacks.
Oh. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I've played that one.
Yeah.
We have a place called Pinballs with a Z in my locale of Austin, Texas.
Nice.
And all they have is pinball machines and a bunch of old arcade games like Pac-Man and such.
Oh,
and,
I would love that place.
Any pinball machine you imagine, they have it.
Oh, man. I got to put that on the list.
Man, that sounds fun.
Yes.
Oh, it is. Knocking them balls around.
I love pinball.
Yeah, it's been fun, but like I just never got into it huge or anything.
Oh, well,
so I can take them or leave them, I guess.
They're going to be disappointed to hear that.
Sorry, Toaster Oven Monthly.
I don't know. I liked at the old laundromat I played at. There was one called Slalom or Extreme. It was like a skiing themed pinball game. That was kind of fun. And I always liked the ones based on TV shows and movies like Addams Family. That was a fun
good one.
That was a fun little pinball game. So
the Simpsons one's pretty good too.
Yeah, one of my favorites is Jurassic Park the movie. Mm.
Oh.
The movie The Pinball.
Oh, nice.
I used to work at this pub when I lived in Florida, and they had a couple pinball machines there. So
you
every night
Florida?
After work, I did. Right south of Jacksonville.
In, did not know that.
St. Augustine. I lived there for a year. And the bar I worked at, they had pinball, and they also had those machines that sat on the bar that you could play like Tri Towers. You know, you put your dollar in, and you could play the touch screen. Yeah, so I would just sit there after work and have beers and play my little games, and it was good times. That's my speed of games: the touch screen card games and the pinball. I was all about it. So we played Mars. I played Mars Attacks every single night. It was great.
Those bar touchscreens is what planted the seeds for your Candy Crush addiction.
I think so. But I don't have to feed dollars, so it's great.
Yeah. Just your soul.
Yes, my soul.
Man.
Oh, boy.
Well, moving right along, Brisket, did we have any other questions this week?
Yeah, we did get an ask. We're running long, but since we have a wonderful female perspective for once.
Oh, it's true.
I thought it might be good to pull out some. I have two questions. We'll see how they go.
Jesus.
Start with the first one. And let's ask the sweet boys. If you have any questions about life, sex, love, relationships, or any other subject that has been troubling you, then please write in to us at parentsbasementpodcast@gmail.com with subject ask, followed by your question. Remember, we will always keep your questions anonymous unless otherwise specified. All right, so I've been saving these here until we get more of a female perspective.
Mm-hmm.
The first writer asks, virgin, but scared I'm pregnant. My period is never late, and it's late now. Please help. This is urgent. I'm 17. Frowny face. My period always, for ages now, comes always sometimes in the teens, usually the 15th, but now it's the 19th, and my period still hasn't come yet, which is not normal for me at all. I'm 17, and I've had my period since I was 12. It's very regular. And now it's late, so I'm scared. I'm a virgin. I've never touched a guy before. But what if I was raped in my sleep or something?
Oh, God.
And now I'm pregnant.
Oh.
One day I woke up, and it hurt down there, and it was super wet for no reason.
Oh.
This was a few weeks back, or like a month back. I don't know. I'm so scared. Stress doesn't affect my period at all because I've been very, very, very stressed before and I got my period normally. And no, I'm not even stressed now, besides a tad worried over this. So yeah, please help. Why is it late? I never get it in the 20s of the month. I gained 3 pounds and my stomach looks bigger. It'd be almost at the end of the month soon. I haven't gone a month without a period since I was like 13. I'm so scared. Please help. Frowny face. Why? Why, if I'm not prego, is this happening?
Oh, boy.
This is the one you've been saving.
Yep.
Just in case.
Oh, my. Well,
I mean, obviously, I don't have any experience with this, and I wouldn't presume to think that either Steven or Huel used to be female at some point.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I don't know how you guys would have experience.
Never make the gender assumption. It's probably a good idea.
Yeah.
Well, I would have to say, no, you are not pregnant because you have never had sex. So you cannot be pregnant. It's very unlikely that you were raped in your sleep because you'd probably wake up. So I'd say that, yes, sometimes the period dates may fluctuate 3 to 5 days.
Mm, sure.
There you go. So don't panic, young girl.
Good answer. Good answer.
Young anonymous girl, you will be okay.
Well, allow me to interject just with a differing opinion. You are 100% pregnant. It's the only
explanation. That's what I was going to say is that you better keep this baby because he's a person too.
Don't listen to them.
It's another anonymous soul. It's a living soul. You'd be wrong to not have the baby. I don't know where to go with this. I'm in over my head here, guys.
Oh, boy.
Let's move on.
I'm glad you waited for a female voice of reason.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I want to know when the baby's born. That way we can adopt it as a show.
Oh, yeah. There we go. We can have a little show baby.
We have exactly the right number of men to take care of that baby, which is
that's true.
You are correct. If I've learned anything,
oh, the hijinks that would
can I be? You. Can I be Steve Guttenberg?
Please
go right ahead.
Yeah. Although I feel like I, Huel.
Wait,
you're,
which can any of us grow a mustache? That's the first.
Yeah,
question.
Gotta
work that
ask. I cannot. I can only grow a Hulk
I have
Hogan
a feeling
mustache.
It's gonna decide a lot of things.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think it's settled. First, we have a mustache grow session, and then we adopt the baby.
Then we assign roles post.
So did you have a second ask?
Yes, a second ask. We wanted to get a female opinion on this one, too. And they write, why are poor people allowed to have children? These people are unintelligent, of poor character, and lack moral fiber. It's not hard to stay not pregnant. If they were stopped, a lot of society's problems might start to go away.
Okay.
That's it? Oh, it was a short ask.
It was a short one, yeah.
I can't do anything but agree, so it's up to Cosmo to.
What is the actual ask?
Why are poor people allowed to have children?
Oh my.
It's very straightforward.
Because anybody is allowed to have a baby. Regardless of financial situation.
It depends what country we're in, though.
Well, within reason.
They never mentioned that, so.
Yeah, they didn't mention what country I'm. Obviously, it's not.
Sorry,
China
your
or
Cosmos jingoistic worldview can only think of America. I mean, their internet is in hundreds of countries. I mean, we don't know where this email's coming from.
Oh my.
Yeah, I think it's okay because the more babies you have, the greater chance that one of them will become a big star on Hollywood.
Oh yeah, that is true. Or one of them would win the lottery.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that increases your chances.
Mm-hmm. The more people you got playing.
Only got to wait 18 years, and then they can start buying those scratch-offs.
Sounds like a bad idea.
I don't know.
It's only math. I mean,
and even better is...
The foundation of our entire world.
You should try to get a variety. You know, if you got to mix up the daddies, because one of them could be a good basketball player. Or one of them could be really tall, but he's not really good basketball. You need a Steve Nash in there or something.
Mm-hmm. Right, of course.
Yeah.
Oh, my.
Basketball's the only choice. Yep.
Mm-hmm. There's always hockey.
It's expensive, Smell.
True.
Yeah.
It is an expensive sport.
Right. Good advice.
Yeah. All around.
I think, as always, we helped a lot of people.
Yep.
I think so, too.
And on that note, let's, Huel, was there anything else you wanted to add this week?
Nope. Just going to strap on my Velcro vest and start running through the store.
Ooh. Brisket, how about you?
When Ross saw that ball, he knew he would never get out.
Smo, thanks for being our guest. Did you have any projects you wanted to plug or anything?
No, I got nothing going on. Nothing going on. Just happy to be here. And
when does that album drop?
No album. I have zero albums. I have nothing. I got nothing going on.
Improv master.
I got mommy stuff. I got work stuff. Yes, I'm terrible improver. But I got nothing going on.
Yes,
but
and.
I am happy to be here, and I appreciate the opportunity to be a guest on the show.
Oh,
yes.
Oh,
we appreciate
it too. And somebody else would like to say one little thing before we go. Oh, sorry. I was mistaken.
Oh, well.
Pippin says goodnight.
Did he say talk to the hand, perhaps?
Gonna get back to his fox avatar. All right, on that note, it's time for the snifferoo, and here it is. And then I don't even know what we're doing next week. I don't even know, man.
Oh, I think it's a me pick.